Lord Jesus, as you have come and as you are coming, now we ask that you'd send your Spirit to come now and speak through your word and speak through my words, that we might have hope in this Advent season, hope and waiting for your gracious second coming to restore all things in our heart and in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Has God ever failed you? Or have you ever felt that way? Has God ever seemed to let you down? I know we want to say no, but has it felt in your life at some point that God maybe did not meet your expectations of what you wanted God to be or to do for you? Has God ever failed you in your mind or let you down, not met your expectations? That could be, God, I thought you were going to make my life go much more smoothly, and it hasn't. Or God, you were supposed to make me get over my ex a long time ago. Or God, you were supposed to make my depression go away 5 years ago. Or God, my life isn't supposed to go this way. Have you ever thought any of those things? Well, today we look again at John. John the baptizer gets the name because he did a lot of that in the Jordan River. And last week when we talked about him, we were in Matthew chapter 3, and now we're in Matthew chapter 11, and a lot of life has changed for him in between those. Last week when we talked about him at the beginning of his ministry, he is God's weirdo off the charts, out in the wilderness, preaching fire and repentance and baptizing people as they confess their sins. And Jesus even goes out to be baptized, though Jesus doesn't confess anything. And he's got that camel-haired muumuu he wears around, and he's eating locusts and honey, and this wild man preaching wild out there saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is coming, the Messiah is coming, get ready. Now, chapter 3, now chapter 11, lots of time has passed, situation's changed, and John is having a crisis of faith, you might say. John spoke his mind, and he spoke for God, and he got himself into trouble. He spoke against the political rulers of his day and got him thrown in prison. Some of the names are hard to follow. We know of King Herod of the Jesus baby story, who tried to kill Jesus, killed all the babies. That's King Herod the Great, not because he was a great man, but because he built great things. His son, Herod Antipas, is the Herod of this story, Herod of Jesus' adulthood. And he put his son, Herod Antipas, in charge of Galilee upon his death. And now Antipas, Herod's son, who's in charge of Galilee when Jesus is an adult, and John and here, this Herod Antipas fell in love with his half-brother's wife, divorced his own wife, and then finagled away for her to divorce her husband so that he could marry her. And John said, hey, wait a second, that's not right at all. And Antipas didn't want to hear the truth, and so he takes John and throws him in prison at one of his beautiful mountaintop palaces that, again, his father, Herod the Great, built. And this palace is on the east side of the Dead Sea. It's in modern-day Jordan. You can go there today, and you can walk into what looks like a prison cell, likely is, on the mountainside. And Josephus tells us, he's a Jewish historian, that that's where John was imprisoned, and that's where he was later killed. And so while John rots in a cold, dark cell, his perspective changes along with his location. He's no longer prophesying. He's now sitting and questioning. Instead of running his mouth, it's now his mind that's running. God, what's the deal? I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be out there upsetting world order and clearing the way for the Messiah. This isn't part of the plan. What's going on? And then Matthew 11:2, you heard a few minutes ago, tells us that John, I don't know if you caught this, that detail, it's easy to fly by right away. It says John sent his disciples to inquire about Jesus. That says John had gathered a following of disciples, which is normal for a rabbi or teacher in that day. He had a gathering of disciples that he was teaching how to follow God. And he sends them, because they came to care for him in prison, he sends them to go find out what's the deal with Jesus. And John tells his disciples, go find Jesus and ask him, are you the one? Or shall we look for
another. Are you it?
Because, Jesus, if you're the Messiah, I shouldn't be here rotting in this cell. And if you're the Messiah, Jesus, you should fit what I think you should fit a little more. Come on, Jesus, you know, they're even cousins. Come on, cousin, what are you doing here? So John has a crisis of faith. He feels let down by God. Jesus is not meeting his expectations, and he has deep doubts. And many people, many Christian writers have struggled with how to write about this, how to talk about this, and people even like Luther and Calvin and many others before them have a really hard time talking about this, and so they fumble around and say really silly things because they couldn't come to grip with the fact that John is John, and he was having such a deep crisis here. And so they fumble around and say things like, well, you know, John just asked, are you the one, so that, you know, all of his disciples and everybody else could hear the answer. You know, John didn't need to know, but he needed everybody else to know. But I think the most honest answer is to look at ourselves. If we're honest with ourselves, we have similar doubts from time to time, don't we? Why did my father die so suddenly? Why did I fail that class? Why didn't I get that job? Why can't I have children? Why am I never happy with how my body looks? God, do you care? Are you really with me? Jesus, are you the one, or shall I look for another? Jesus, are you really the one to give meaning to my life, or should I shop around a bit more? And John's disciples go and find wherever Jesus is, and they ask him. And then what is Jesus' reply? He says, go back and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one not offended by me. Now, this is where the story gets even a bit weirder for a moment. John is wondering if Jesus really is the Messiah, and he knows all these miraculous things that he's done. And he still, if you and I saw all those things with our very eyes, right, we would say, of course you are. You know, of course, Jesus, you're seeing dead being raised, lepers being cleansed, a deaf hearing, blind receiving. Wow, but John knows all these things and is still wondering, is Jesus really the Messiah? So Jesus isn't matching up to John's idea. He isn't meeting his expectations. Why not? Remember last week, John is this fiery preacher, fire and brimstone, repent, get ready. He expected Jesus to be fiery like him. And as the Bible says, he is like Elijah. And remember, Elijah was the fiery preacher who had that great showdown on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. And Jesus, in his mind, is supposed to be that, supposed to go out and boldly preach against Herod and the Romans. Jesus is supposed to rail against the political leaders and maybe gather an army and finally bring about the new kingdom, get rid of the Romans, set up the Jewish kingdom. Or maybe at the very least, John is thinking, you know, Jesus, you could at least come in the night with some bandits and get me out of this place. So John has preached this fiery message and prepared the way for Jesus. And then John looks around at the world and nothing looks different. The Herods are still in power. The Romans still control the region. The Sadducees still control the temple very crookedly in Jerusalem. And the Pharisees are still spiritually abusing people on a daily basis. And where's Jesus? Well, Jesus is up in Galilee walking around door to door, not preaching fire in the same way. He's telling people to love their enemies. He's telling people to pray for those who persecute you. He's forgiving prostitutes. He's befriending tax collectors. He's even healing the child of a Roman centurion. He's feeding thousands of people. He's making a crippled man walk in a little village over here. He's making water turn into wine in Cana, which, by the way, makes Hamilton look big. You see, Jesus is out in this backwater Galilee doing his own thing while John rots in prison. And so he says, God, you're letting me down. What I want you to remember today is that Jesus isn't always what we want him to be,
But he is always what we need him to be.
Jesus isn't always what we want him to be, but he is always what we need him to be. John wanted Jesus to come on stage and kick some serious behind, and Jesus comes and says in front of Pontius Pilate, as he's about to be killed, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus looks at people that are weary and beaten down and says, "Come to me, all you who are weak and weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus looks at his disciples as he's about to send them out and says, "My peace I leave you, not as the world gives." Or how about, "Father, forgive them, they don't even know what they're doing." Or his last words to his disciples, "I am with you always, to the very end of time." You see, Jesus may not always be the Messiah you think you want, one of success and popularity and immediacy of everything you want, but he is the Messiah that you need, the true comforter, the true Lamb of God, the true sacrifice, the true prophet, the true presence of God to die for you so that you might truly live. Jesus isn't always what we want him to be, but he is always what we need him to be. You might expect God or want God to make your bank account overflow tomorrow, but God promises to provide for your needs. You might expect or want God to get you that promotion, but God promises to give you contentment in your calling. You might expect or want God to take away your grief immediately, but God promises to come and sit with you even in your darkest moments. Even when God feels absent, he is still Emmanuel, God with you. And you might expect Jesus to make you successful or make you popular, but he goes deeper than that and forgives all of your sins and gives you the meaning in your life that your heart has longed for. Jesus isn't always what we want him to be, but he is always what we need him to be. So may the peace that goes beyond all of our understanding guard your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.